Here is the conclusion of the Bread of Life discourse and of this preaching series on the Eucharist that the bishops said, we want you to preach on the Eucharist, which I don't know what else you would preach on when that's the gospel for 5 or 6 weeks in a row. And it's the central mystery of the Christian faith and the source and summit of the Christian life. But the importance of doing it now this year, I think, is highlighted by the National Eucharistic Congress, and to see, as to see how that's going to renew the church, and it's just the beginning of that happening. It's going to continue to renew the church, and the thing that gets faith, right? The thing that brings the apostles to faith in the Eucharist has nothing to do with how much sense it makes to them at the time. It really has nothing to do with, hey, this is exactly what I was hoping you would say. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, Jesus agrees with my thoughts and my agenda and my, no, it doesn't have anything to do with that. They have no idea he's going to say all of this stuff. You know, people are like, what are you doing following Jesus? What does this mean? They're like, hey, we're just hearing this for the first time too. So like, I don't know. And so I'm putting some subtext in there that may not exactly be there, but Jesus says, this is my, you know, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. And he's talking about the Eucharist, but like I said last week, they haven't seen the Last Supper yet, so they don't know the context for this. They don't understand what he is saying. It's not just that there's a mystery, it's that they don't even perhaps know, like, well, what exactly is the mystery you want us to believe in? So Jesus obviously didn't mean cannibalism, because they didn't do that, okay? But they don't know what he does mean. And yet they still follow him. So this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Many of the disciples hear what Jesus says about the Eucharist. This is my body and blood. And they say, this saying is hard. Who can accept it? And he turns to his disciples and says, does this shock you? You know? And there are some of you, he says, who do not believe. And then as a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Incidentally, that is John 6, verse 66. Anyway, I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny, but it's not really funny, but that there's this denial of Jesus' real presence, this denial of his words. What is Jesus looking for? Faith. He's looking for faith. And when they leave, Jesus says, do you also want to leave? Are you also going to leave? He doesn't chase after the people leaving and say, hey, this was a figure of speech, or, you know, you need to look at this. You know, he lets them go. And that's interesting, because it would have been hard to believe, I think. It would have been hard without having the Last Supper and the whole context for how, you know, Jesus takes the bread, you know, and says, this is my body, and he takes the wine, this is my blood, and that's transformed into his body and blood. Without that context, he's still looking for faith. And they walk away because they can't trust this. They can't go along with this. But the 12, Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to leave? And Simon Peter's answer, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. Nowhere in Peter's confession of faith in Jesus does Peter say, I understand this. Lord, they don't get it, but I totally get it. It makes sense to me, Lord. He doesn't say that because it's not true. He says the truth. I know who you are, and I trust what you say. I have no idea how what you say could be true. But I don't need to know how, I guess, right now, to know that it is true. This is a lot like Mary's faith when the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, you're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. You're going to bear the Son of God. You know, you're going to have, your child will be the Son of God and be the Messiah. And she doesn't understand how, but she still believes. And that's very similar. The 12, their faith is very similar. We don't know how this could be, but we trust you. So what you say, I'm going to do. And they don't wander away. They don't drift away. They don't just depart from him. But Jesus is kind of direct. He's directly asking them, do you also want to leave? Because so Jesus can't lie. You know, he's not going to do that. He is true to himself. And so when he says this, do you also want to leave? Jesus can't just, you know, change it so that the apostles like it either. Isn't that interesting? I mean, without their faith in him, I don't know what would have happened there. Because they didn't leave. But many people did. Many people did. And many people today do. And I don't mean like necessarily like they make an explicit act of faith against the Eucharist. I'm sure that happens a lot too. But I think a lot of people, it's not really about disbelieving. It's about, like, it's not about the act of rejecting so much as it's, I never really was truly convicted of that. If everybody who was raised Catholic was convicted of this truth, how many people do you think there would be in church tonight? We would not be able to hold everybody, you know? But I think a better question is, the better question is, if every one of us in this church tonight are convicted, like are convinced of the truth of this, how many more people will come to church over time? Right? How many more people, because of your faith? Why do you go to Catholic Church? You know, I just wonder, like when people ask you that, because hopefully they know that about you, and there's been times where you might have been asked the question, well, why would you go to Catholic Church? Because maybe there were some good reasons not to. Okay, there were some good reasons. I don't mean there were good reasons, but like there were, people have found some reasons to make us, to try to shake our faith, right? People within the church. Right, we've talked about all that, you know, not for a couple of years, but so why do you go? And if somebody asks you that, what do you say? I really truly hope that you don't talk about me very much. I mean, it's okay if you do. It's great for my ego. No. Now, I mean it's great if you love your pastor. It's great if you love the people here. That's really good. Those are good things to say. You know, I think if you don't say that, it's kind of weird. Like, I hate everyone there, but I love the Eucharist. Well, that doesn't really work, you know? If the music leads you into worship, yeah, like, that's a good thing to say. But I hope that your witness, ultimately, is about the mystery that happens on this altar, that you actually believe Jesus and take him at his word. And when he says what he says, you believe him. Because if that's really his body and blood, and if Jesus is really becoming one flesh with you in the Eucharist when we receive him, if we really have faith in that, we're not going to drift away from going to a Catholic Mass. We're not going to drift away from being at the Eucharistic celebration. And in fact, we're going to attract other people to it because it's what you're excited about. It's what you believe. It's what you love. It's what you know to be true. And when you really, there's no way to like know that and it not be important. Like there's some things that you could know them and they're of relative importance, but not the Eucharist. So most people who have left the Catholic Church, I think it's not really because they actively decided, I reject the Eucharist. It's because they never really were completely convinced in the first place. Do I really believe that Jesus is present in that way, and that he wants to be united with me in this sacrament? And so, again, we're called to make this act of faith through which we're able to be united with Jesus. In this sacrament, he gives himself to us in a way, like I said, it's more intimate, it's more complete than any other way on this earth, even though our union with God on this earth is not as complete as it will be in heaven. It's still the most complete that he offered, that's available to us right now. It's very real. And I think that a lot of you, there's a lot of people that you love who are not here, who you really want to be here. Like, you really want them to know this and to believe this and to have this, to be completely convinced. You want that for them. And there's this ache in your heart that they're not here with you, or wherever that is that they live, you know, if they're your kids in another town. But I want to say to you that the Lord is renewing his church. Okay, he's renewing, and especially like in our country, and he's acting and he's working, and I think the Lord just wants to speak hope to that desire of your heart, that people are going to have their eyes opened and their hearts opened to this, to the reality of this sacrament. And a lot of the way in which it's going to be opened is through your faith in the Lord, is through your faith in Jesus. And when they see the fruit of the Eucharist in your life, and I'm not saying that they haven't been seeing that, but it, as the Lord would say, there's always more, and there's more, and there's more. And so today, as we receive Jesus and thank him, like, Lord, thank you for the gift of faith. Because I couldn't give it to myself. I mean, certainly there is a decision involved there, but it is his gift. And to say, Lord, I don't understand how you're going to do something, but I believe that you're going to do it, that's an act of faith, right? That's why the apostles stayed with Jesus. That's why they followed him. That's why the teaching of the Eucharist did not drive them away. And for us, we have to say that sometimes too. I don't know how you're going to do this, Lord, but you will. I believe that you will, and I trust that you will. I know that you're present. I know that you're present to me. I know that you're united to me, especially in an especially powerful way through the Eucharist. And I trust in that love that you have, that you are going to draw my family, maybe your friends, but you're going to draw us to be of one heart and mind in you.